5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Aloe Fiber studios here. We've had a lot of stuff going on today. More of a reiteration of a report about CU potentially going to the Big 12. That's a big thing. We've got game three tonight between the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. But we've got one of my good friends in studio with us now, Scott Magerflesh, of co-host of Brew Talk and the Nerd Show that air here Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights on KFKA. Scott, this is a fun crossover.
Yeah,
man.
It's kind of fun.
We had one of my listeners give an angel crap because he thinks he's a nerd, and yeah. I'm like, we're going to bring one in.
Oh, we are. We're thinking Angel's a nerd. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Well, and the crossover for you two, I didn't realize how much of a Star Wars nerd Angel was until May the 4th, yeah. And then I'm like, so what do you think of Star? And then boom, it just blew my mind. He's like, he lists every single character that's ever existed.
Nice.
Which I'm sure you do that as well in your sleep.
Try not to, because that would just get exhausting. But, you know, Angel and I will have some conversations maybe during the break. And
yeah.
I'll test his Star Wars nerd knowledge, and we'll see where we're at.
A little battle back and forth.
Not necessarily a battle, yes. But I kind of like to know how deep into the nuances it is.
I like to create the drama. So, sure. Yes, this is like a heavyweight battle, box, winner take all, loser death, all of that stuff.
No, I don't want to go that way. I will say that I could share it online with – I have photos with the Emperor Palpatine from like 2 weeks ago. So,
Angel
like
might,
a figurine or like actual Ian McDiarmid?
Actually, Ian McDiarmid getting my autograph on a figure at a convention a couple weeks ago.
That's
so,
incredibly
yes.
Awesome.
Angel hasn't looked at me like that in years, Scott.
And it was super cool. We were literally, and again, this talks to my nerddom, was first in line for the autographs at this convention on a Friday. They show up. His person shows up. They don't even have pens ready for him to sign stuff on. So we're like, hey, can we help you, you know, get the pens going? And so we do that. So we're chit-chatting with him about where he lives and, you know, some of the weird things that he's, you know, run into when he's run into fans in the just out in the wild and things like that.
So basically, Angel's going to be asking for your number to hang out sometime so he could find himself in some of these situations.
We could certainly do that.
At some point in time.
You know, we can have him over to the man cave and he can see all the movie posters in, you know, chronological order.
We'll have to. Maybe I could join too. I'd love to be a part of an inside joke. That would be fantastic.
We could do that.
But we love the Nerd Show. We love what you guys do there. We love, of course, what you guys are doing with Brew Talk. And I think both those programs serve so many significant purposes. But I love the Brew Talk portion of it too, because you're highlighting these local breweries, such an interesting distilleries too, but such an interesting business model. And you and I connected a little bit in our crossover, talking about baseball.
Yeah.
And then with the new pitch count rules speeding up these games, and we all heard back, you know, it's up to the teams, but the teams are now, you know, decreasing the amount of time you can go purchase beers, which does impact not just the beer sales there, but the craft beer industry, the beer industry in general.
Yeah, and I was doing some research and looked at this, and so a lot of the statistics that are out there are about a month and a half old. So on April 12th, there was a big story that dropped everywhere, and basically it was four teams in MLB had identified that they were hurting because of the shortness of the games, and we can get into that and some of the rules. But so basically the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, the Twins, and the Brewers all said, we're going to extend beer sales into the end of the eighth inning because the game is so much shorter.
Sure.
And Milwaukee ended up walking that back as of May 8th. And so they actually announced, hey, we're going to go back to it. But you've got these teams that are doing it, and Mothers Against Drunk Drivers came out against it. They didn't like that. And the whole concept was, we're trying to give people an opportunity to sober up before they leave the game. And by extending beer sales later into the game ends quicker. Really, it becomes about the economics. And so I think for me as a big baseball fan, someone who played baseball in high school and college, I like the game for the game. And the rules have changed, and they're good and bad, whatever. But the idea that we are literally sacrificing public safety and certain elements for the benefit of the economics of that bothers me.
It is an interesting concept because you've seen players come out against it, players come out and kind of get it, whatever. But the players that come out against it, of course, are like, yeah, what about the safety concerns? Because we're already talking about people that go to games and are overserved.
Yep.
You get to that point where now if you're tasked with Oh, wow, we're getting close to it, man. I got to pound these so I can go. Mm-hmm. You're forcing yourself to drink a little quicker than perhaps you normally would.
Well, and in addition to that, there are more and more stadiums and more ballparks that are offering in-your-seat service. So you think about that
true.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't even have to get up.
Yep.
And, you know, Major League Baseball has not said one way or the other, but the ballparks are looking at, we're trying to enhance the experience. And since the game is faster, you don't have to worry about missing any of the action because we'll literally bring it to your seat. And if you're talking about alcohol consumption specifically, I think that can be detrimental to the environment and the experience. So
now, what do you think about the counter argument, I suppose, is that, you know what, these guys, if they want to drink that badly, they're going to get done with the game and then they're going to go bar hopping or whatever. There are those people that just go to the game, know that they can have a beer or two, and then that's it. We're going to go. There are others that have, I want to go to the game, but I don't mind getting a little plastered too.
Sure.
So if that's already on the agenda, they're probably going to go do it anyway. But that, I suppose there's not really any way to control that one way or the other.
There's not. And also, keep in mind that that usually refers to the concession sales that are available in the main concourses.
Yeah.
You go to a lot of these suites, a lot of the VIP sections, a lot of the other places, the restaurants, they're not cutting you off at the end of seven. And so the idea that you could still get alcohol all the way up to the end of the game certainly has existed well before this. I just think the element and the timing of it was really bad. And I don't think they marketed it well because it was sort of, well, the games are so much shorter and we're hurting on beer sales, so now we're going to increase the amount of time that we can sell beer, which is still the same, but it, you know, it has the perception of not looking like you're keeping the public's
getting out in front of whatever the big issues would be. It kind of reminds me of when we had COVID, when everybody was flying by the seat of their pants. Yeah. Here we're going to have games, but oh wait, we forgot we have to do this, we have to do that. With this, it's like we're going to have shorter games by at least half an hour, most likely across the board. We didn't really think about how that's going to impact everything, but now we have. So we're going to change the rule. What'd they do this? Like when this was first coming out, I mean, the season had already been well underway.
Well, the report that I read and was going back to was April 12th.
Okay.
And so it was fairly early in the season.
Sure.
So you're absolutely right.
They got like a, you know, and they saw a few games. And
size,
you would think even back in spring training, they would go, okay, but on average, we're losing 30 minutes of game.
Well, and that's absolutely true. I was going back and looking, and since 2010, literally the average length of a game, if you take from 2010 to 2022, it's 3 hours and 4 minutes. And the average length of a game since 2012 all the way up to 2022 was over or equal to 3 hours. So long baseball games and everything else. As of which would have been yesterday, 447 games into the season, the average length of a game is 2 hours and 38 minutes.
Wow. Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah. So we've really shortened the game, and primarily it's because of the rules that were put in place for the pitch clock.
You know, I'll be honest. I'm impressed. I personally loved the concept of it. I just didn't think there was any way they were going to regulate this. How are you going to have a clock and what happens?
Yeah.
I mean, but they've found a way to manage this. You're not seeing too many snags in this process. You see a couple here and again where pitchers like, no, I was starting. I was getting my pitch going. But for the most part, they've been able to regulate it. But you being a more of a traditional baseball fan, how do you feel about this?
You know, I'm a little bit torn because there are things about the game that are just irritating and nuanced. And I remember even while I was playing, and you'd get a guy on the mound and he'd want to start toying with the runner and he'd pick over 4 or 5 times and we'd be yelling out, pick home, just trying to get the game going. And so I think some of those elements have helped. I also struggle with the idea of just some of the elements that are outside the norm that you can just do. And I've seen some umpires do a great job of that. And, you know, growing up and playing as a catcher all the way through college, sometimes you get beat up back there. And I've seen games, you see a catcher take one off of the mask and he's shook up and his bell's rung and people are yelling at him to pick up the phone. And the umpire waits and he's holding on a minute. He's making sure that he doesn't even give the catcher the ball so that it can go to the pitcher and start the clock up. So I've seen
I've noticed that too.
And you appreciate that. And overall, I don't think it's hurting the game a lot. I think there's way more benefits and there are detriments to it. I'm also a little bit frustrated because you have even the disengagement from the pitcher. It's like if you've got a guy that's really far off, realistically, you've only got one pick that you can truly do there. And if you can't pick him off, That second time,
you
it's
lost
free
your,
rein.
You lost your ammunition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and now that, you know, that runner can do whatever he wants, and if you disengage, it's a balk, he gets it anyway.
Scott, do you, and I haven't looked at this, are you seeing an increase? As, it seems like every time I watch a Rockies game, to be fair, people yeah. steal on them all the time. Are we seeing an increase in stolen bases?
What I saw recently is that the percentage of stolen bases is going down slightly, but the success rate of stolen bases is up significantly.
Okay. Well,
and so
that's and that goes right to your point. When you do it once, you lose that ammunition, and now you can do whatever you want.
Well, and you also made the bases bigger, and so now you've shortened the distance, and it's only an inch. But as a catcher, I'm always thinking, man, sometimes the inch is the difference between safe and out when you're making those kind of throws. And these guys have, you know, 1.7, 1.8 pop times that are just incredible. But if you lose the option for that pitcher to pick over at any point in time, then it kind of makes it a little bit easier for the runners. And we're seeing that statistically.
Sure.
There's more successes from a stolen base perspective, but we're not seeing what we used to back when I was playing and I was growing up, where you had Ricky Henderson stealing 100 bases in a year. So,
Scott, what position did you play?
Catcher.
Where did you go?
So I was a Colorado guy, so I played Westminster.
Awesome.
And then I played 2 years at a little junior college in Rangeley, Colorado, Colorado Northwestern. And then my junior year, I played for a Division II school, Fort Hays State in Kansas.
We're going to have to get you on for way more baseball.
Well, we can certainly talk baseball.
Okay, so you see all this stuff with baseball.
Yeah.
And so this kind of our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is, do you watch pro golf?
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff going on with PGA and Liv.
Yeah.
Some people were bringing up the fact, well, okay, baseball changed their game. They realized, okay, maybe the ratings are hurting amongst younger people, trying to attract that casual fan, but golf is saying, hey, we're joining together with LIV and PGA. We're going to make this awesome. We're going to grow golf. My question is, what are they going to do? Because golf is golf. Mm-hmm. Baseball, you found ways to change it. We talked about this for years about a pitch count.
Yeah.
With golf, I'm like, what is there that you could change in the sport of golf?
You know, I don't know. Maybe you add some elements from Happy Gilmore.
We were talking about, like, do we make the trees movable?
Obstacles, you know.
On wheels out there or something.
I don't know.
You a big golf guy?
No.
Okay, so I'm not either.
Yeah.
I suck at golf. I enjoy going out to the golf course because they're beautiful. The Eden Country Club is pristine. I love it. I'm just terrible. Angel's trying to get better. And when he gets better, maybe that will give me the confidence
there
to think I can do it. But I'm just thinking, in terms of a viewer and watching it at home, baseball looked at it and said, consumers are showing, probably somewhere in their stats, that 3 hours and 20 minutes or whatever is too long to sit and watch a baseball game. So we got to do something. With golf, it's like, what do you do? Happy Gilmore, you add personalities, probably.
Well, and the one good thing that you have about golf is that there are different stages throughout the game that are more interesting and exciting than others. And so the fact that if you watch most golf on TV, and I don't watch a lot of golf on TV, but when I have, what do you see the most of? You see drives and you see putts, or then you see the amazing chip shot from 170 yards out that goes in, those type of things. So from a viewer perspective, TV golf gives you the opportunity to situate what you're showing because you're always in flux and you're always in motion.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps them from a viewer perspective. You're not having to watch the guy walk 280 yards to go and hit the next ball because there's only four of them playing. So you kind of get that.
Wouldn't that be something? There's just one camera out there and you have to watch the dude walk.
We're only going to watch this foursome today. So.
And I'll be real honest. Back in the COVID days, when fall came around and we were told we weren't going to have high school football, so we weren't going to be able to broadcast high school football, we thought, well, what sports are they going to allow? Golf was one of them. And we actually went out and broadcasted golf. And the way it was set up was beautifully because they have an app with Chasa now with golf. They give you stats. They give you who's leading currently after every hole. And so what we would do is we set people up at the clubhouse. We had two or three reporters go out and follow who we thought would be the better group to follow. And it turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to do it every single year, but it turned out okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there's aspects to it that I suppose I get why people love it. I'm just asking why people can sit and watch it going forward.
And I think it's simply because you get that constant change and that turnover, and when you can pivot and look at a different group that's playing or a foursome or whatever else, that you can be very agile, if I may use that phrase, in golf and how you're presenting and how you're, you know, producing a show. Whereas with baseball, you know, what did they start doing? Oh, we're going to interview the coach in the middle of the inning or whatever else, or we're going to interview the pitcher that just came off. And so they're trying to make it more engaging. But, you know, for me, I was a guy who appreciated the game within the game. And I was the guy, because I was a catcher, that I loved the nuances and all of those things. And so I think as a viewer, that's what I appreciate. Not everybody does that. Not everybody.
You'd watch it if it were 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If it was your team that you're interested in, you'd sit and watch it for 5 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Scott Magerflesh joining us, co-host of Brew Talk here on KFK, as well as The Nerd Show. Let me ask you one more about the beer thing. How much does that, because we're seeing craft beers now in stadiums and ballparks all over the place, too. Have you seen any, or have you heard anything about any kind of impact that they're getting? I don't know what percentage of ballpark sales. I know like Tight-Knits has a deal with the NoCo Owls.
Yeah.
How much would that impact something like that or any of these breweries that are working with the Rockies?
My guess, probably not a lot.
Probably not a huge, big enough dent.
Yeah, you think about Blue Moon, and they've got their distillery right there at Coors Field, and I don't think their sales are impacted near as much. My guess is it's the big stuff. It's the concession stands that are the ones that are seeing the dip in sales. And you think about volume. I mean, if you've got 50 beer stands throughout the concession stands, but you've got one microbrewery, their sales that you're missing out in 20 or 30 minutes is probably minuscule compared to the 50 or 60 beer stands that are being pumped through on a regular basis. So my guess is not a lot, but I don't have any
statistics. It would be curious at the end, because like you say, it's who knows what kind of a percentage they really think about when it comes to ballpark sales and such. It's the game within the game. I love talking about these unique things that impact. What else do we miss, Scott? Is there anything else you wanted to throw out?
Well, I think some of the other things I just had in my notes as we were talking about it, like, you know, the rule changes that have really had an impact. And this year, I think we're seeing the biggest ones. The ones in the last 3 years really haven't seen. We saw the three batter minimum come out for the pitchers, and that was so we just didn't have the road rotating clock coming through out of the bullpen, which helped a little bit. But if you look at the game in 2020, it was a shortened season. That all happened in 2020, but they were still over 3 hours and 6 minutes. And so that happened. And then the next year, averaged the longest baseball time in history at 3 hours and 11 minutes. So that didn't help. 2021, we added the runner on second. I hate that rule.
Oh, my gosh.
Despise that rule.
Terrible.
It didn't
do
anything for us. I felt like I was playing adult softball again. Didn't want to do that. And then in 2022, we had the Ohtani rule, which you saw that as a designated player that could go both ways, so you didn't have to lift them. And then we're seeing the DH across the universe, and I still don't like that one either, but it
is what it is. Not crazy about that one. No. It's taking some time to getting used to that one.
But I think, you know, eliminating the shift and the pitch clock really have changed the game. And that's what we're seeing from a difference. And I have a feeling that we're probably not going to see a ton of tweaks in the next few years. I know there's a lot of stuff they're trying out in the minors. But I would say I would not be opposed to going to a Savannah Bananas baseball game every once in a while.
Get some
that's
of those antics before. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
those are fun, man.
Yeah, I think they limit the games to 2 hours and everything else. So they're actually a lot of fun to watch.
I've seen their videos all over the
crazy.
Place. I don't know what the Owls do, if they do anything kind of unique
like
that. But it'd be fun to go check them out anyway.
It would be.
Scott, my man, appreciate this, dude. We got to do this more often.
Sure.
Definitely talk some baseball. And we got game three tonight. I know you're not the biggest basketball guy in the world.
No, but I absolutely appreciate the home team.
You got to take the Nuggets tonight?
I've never been a Nuggets hater. I absolutely will take the Nuggets, and I think that Jokic got shorted. He should have been MVP again this year.
So stupid.
Should have been.
And now they're all dialing. Now they're all walking it back.
Now everybody's like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, he is pretty good. Oh, yeah, because you sat and watched the game.
Yeah, and it's funny, some of the reports that are coming out about how brainy he is and how thoughtful he is and how he does the game. He's kind of that guy who thinks about the game. And people are going, yeah, but it's boring. But I think it's entertaining because you see the way he plays and the way he
thinks.
It's
unique.
Yeah.
It's the way he perceives, you know, talks to the media and doesn't really care as much. I mean, you haven't seen anybody like that.
No.
There's nobody like that. So, Scott, we love what you do, man. Love to have you part of the team.
Thanks.
Don't come here again.
I won't. Fair enough. Wow, I just got fired on live radio.
Because Brady, we'll be in a new building.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh,
yes.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so don't. This will be...
Okay.
Well, I guess our last show is Friday here. This is the very last local show. We'll be here at 2:00. We're signing off. So
that's wild.
And then we're rocking and rolling in the new place.
So excited about that.
We'll be excited to see you there, my friend.
Very good.
It'll sound better too, I'm told.
Okay.
Or it might sound the exact same. I don't know.
I don't have a lot of history from an experience perspective that I could even go, wow, this sounds so much better.
Scott Magerflesh, co-host of Brew Talk and The Nerd Show. I love those programs. They're great additions to what we do here with our KFK programming. So thank you so much for your time. time and devotion to those shows, and then pop it on here. We'll talk baseball more, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. 25 minutes after the hour, we'll let you two nerd out a little bit, too. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's fire it up. Let's get into Game 3. Can the Nuggets cover the spread tonight? That's what the bettors are wondering. 2.5 to 3. We'll see. I think they blow them out tonight. I really do. I feel good about it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Game 3 tonight. Denver Nuggets venture to Miami. Well, they're already in Miami. And they're favored to win. What does that mean? What are the things that they have to do to ensure a victory tonight? You get a little worried if they go down 2-1. Yeah, Miami, when they get hot, they get hot. You saw what they did against Boston. You saw what they did against Milwaukee. When they got confidence, they never looked back. So this is going to be a key game tonight for so many reasons, a key moment for the Nuggets in their playoff run this year, in their history. You're going to look at this. Did get news that Tyler Hero is not going to play tonight, so that is not something the Nuggets will have to worry about. But they will still have to worry about Jimmy Butler. And my biggest fear is that we haven't seen the best of Jimmy Butler in the series. So you know at some point he's going to have one of those heroic nights. That's when if you're Denver, you can't let Strus, you can't let Vincent and Bam take over and add to that, where you got two or three guys that are just putting up monster all-star type performances.
So do you make Jimmy a scorer?
Do you do the thing that Spoelstra got pissed at that question. Did you see him?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was partially he was upset with the question. Also, hey, this reporter just called out what I was doing.
I know. So that's what I would
stop it.
That's what I was thinking.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I think your
point that Jimmy hasn't had a big game like that, like we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals, see if he can't not let him do it, but see if he can do it. If you like open the door a little bit, is he gonna run through it?
Well, and that's what we talked about on Monday. When we say let guys go off, it's not like you're just the Ole defense.
You're not letting Jokic score 40. It's stopping Jokic from passing the ball.
You're not pressing as much as you would before Joker gets, you know, within 2 feet of the basket, you know, or you're not doubling. For Jimmy Butler, it would be kind of like, okay, you're not guarding him, but
you guard him one-on-one.
The big thing is you gotta be aware of what they're doing on the screen game. Spoelstra, I will say, designed a masterful screen game in the sense that you didn't know whether Strus was going to set a screen or whether he was going to go and fake you out and go off to the corner and get a wide open three. He was 4 of 10. He had two or three more wide open looks that he missed. That's going to be critical tonight. So, yeah, Butler had 21 in game two. If he goes off for 40 tonight, you can probably live with that, just like the Heat lived with Joker getting 40. But you can't allow Strus or Vincent to go off from the three-point line. That's when it could get out of hand.
Well, very similar to Phoenix. Was, you know, we talked about it's going to take Booker and Durant to score 80 combined, and then that might not be enough because you would still need guys like Shamit and them to make shots.
And then when the two games they won, you did get Shamit and those guys. Right. They were rolling with them.
Miami does a good job of getting you off your rhythm. Your responsibility now is countering that while also pushing them off their rhythm.
Well, so one of the key matchup decision Spoelstra made was to actually assign Jimmy Butler to Jamal Murray. Now, yeah, I would say Jimmy Butler, as far as offense to defense, won that matchup. Jamal, aside from a Murray flurry, wasn't spectacular in that game. Butler can play pretty damn good defense. This is where the Nuggets are going to have to get creative. You got to have KCP hitting threes. You got to have MPJ hitting threes. All that stuff opens up Jamal Murray. Because when Butler is focused on Murray and he can just try to take him out of the game, you got to have your other guys start to get some momentum, and then Butler's attention has to shift a little bit. He's a key defensive player. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I think something that we saw in game one that worked to the Nuggets' advantage is their size. Miami doesn't have the size to compete with Denver, and Zeller, their backup center, he's not doing anything with Jokic.
No.
So if Jokic is going to go at him or go at Bam and really tire them out, you can get back to using your size against them because they don't have anyone else. They don't have a Rui Hachimura they can throw in there with an Anthony Davis. If they wanted to go big, they would go Bam, Kevin Love, and Zeller. But they're not going
to
do that.
And I don't necessarily subscribe to the fact that the Nuggets are worse when Joker's scoring 40-plus.
Kind of solid without Jokic on the floor.
Yeah. I just think that this was a case. This team has grown up every single day. This was flat out a case, dude, of, yeah, I know it fits that narrative of 41 points and 4 assists and then they lose. You're a 3 away from going to overtime.
You
and I both agree they win in overtime.
They were leading going into the fourth quarter. It's not like
eight.
They didn't have control of this game. They did.
They were up by 8. And they
lost their effort in the fourth quarter.
The stat we talked about, 17 clips that Michael Malone showed his team the other night, the discipline clips or lack thereof, 17 of those plays or situations accounted for 40 points. That is what cost you the game. Not necessarily as harsh as I was on Michael Porter Jr. yesterday or the relationship between he and Malone, what cost you the game ultimately was those miscommunications and just lapse of knowing what you're supposed to do on your assignments. Yeah, if Porter hits two more threes in that game, they win. But that wasn't the real reason they lost this game. It was 17 clips. Otherwise, it's a blowout. I know it sounds stupid, but that's the truth.
I know we're all panicked and freaking out. But they lost by 3. You had a shot to tie it. The ball was in the rim. It just bounced back out.
They had control going into the fourth. They were up 15 at one point in the third. The fourth quarter was awful. And that a lot of those 17 clips, I don't have the exact number, Angel, but a lot of those miscommunications still happened in the fourth. Christian Brown, who was a spark plug for them in the second, didn't do anything in the fourth. He had some critical errors in that game, in the fourth period. Bruce Brown wasn't efficient in the fourth period. And we know that it took Jamal a little bit, and then he hit some threes late to actually put it within a three-point game and make it a one-score game. But I just don't – you're not going to see this. You're not going to see
– You talk about learning. This team, they learn every game. They know what they do wrong. They know as soon as that game was over and Malone comes to the locker room, they're ready to tell him what they did wrong.
This feels like the two games in Phoenix. They had the chances. They squandered them away. And it killed them. And it made them so mad. They chewed on it for so long. Like I said the other day, Michael Malone still probably has nightmares about the two games in Phoenix because he thought they could have swept Phoenix. They really thought they could have swept Phoenix.
At least split that series. Because that was a game 4 when Jokic had 53.
Yep.
You should have won that game.
And so now you got – then they went on to close it in two games, the next two games.
And it didn't really feel like Phoenix had a shot in those last two.
No. Denver was pissed. And they corrected everything that they screwed up on.
Even
in
the Lakers series. We felt pretty confident going up 2-0, but there was still that, oh, we got to be on the road. LA's tough to play.
Yep.
And Jamal Murray went for like 20 in the first.
All right, so here we go. I already said this at the beginning. I don't think you're going to see the mental lapses. You're not going to see this team just stop communicating. I think they will guard the three better. I'm really eager to see how they handle this. The question will be, can KCP hit? Can Jamal Murray hit? Can Michael Porter Jr. hit? Joker lead scorer tonight?
I'm gonna say no.
Murray?
Nope.
Are you going with Porter? You know
this is Porter's
you
night.
You know you want Porter to go just so you can tweet and say, see, keep doubting him.
No, I'm just saying, hey, good on the guy. He is definitely up against the wall in terms of this is a huge game for you.
Well, and it wasn't just me that was critical. Everyone was critical of MPJ yesterday. And my thing was Malone doesn't know how to coach him. So I'm not necessarily critical of MPJ. I don't know that Malone knows how to utilize this weapon that is Michael Porter Jr. Now, there are times where he has, and Porter has just simply taken over. Will that be tonight?
Hopefully. I think it's more of the weapon itself is good, but the, how you're using the weapon, is it's not quite there yet.
It's like, okay, the we're going to do another nerd reference, an Avatar. You know, those guys, they're blue dudes, they run around, they shoot bow and arrows, but what did they learn to use in the sequel?
Guns.
They learn how to use guns. It's not that they can't figure it out. They're hunters. They're fighters. They know how to fight. But when they were introduced these guns for the first time, they're like, okay, what do we do here? And they learned, and they were awesome with them. Michael Malone is a hunter. He's a fighter. He's a damn good coach. Michael Porter Jr. is like a machine gun at times. He's got to learn how to, he's got to learn how to use him. And if he's not hitting from three early on, you have to figure out how to keep him engaged. Because he's too good of a player to be on the bench. Like, would I rather Christian Brown out there over MPJ? Hell no. Michael Porter Jr. is lethal. But Malone has to figure him out. And time's ticking, because if it doesn't work and you don't win a title, and even if you do win a title, you're going to have conversations with Calvin Booth about the future of Michael Porter Jr. with Michael Malone. You
hear from Mike real quick, like 20 seconds.
Let's do it.
My three-pointer won't keep up. I'm not going to keep missing that many threes. So I just got to stay confident in myself. And like you said, if that's not falling, figure out other ways to help the team. But I definitely can mix in some driving, closeouts, get to the hole, and then get out in transition. Try to find some easy ones, get on the glass, things.
That's what I'm talking about, Angel. That's what I said yesterday. If you can't hit the three, find easy buckets. That's what it's a. It's the tale as old as time, Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I play that to show that that's where Michael's mindset's at.
But that's,
it's not, but, I'm upset because I'm missing shots.
Correct.
It's, I know I'm missing shots. They're going to fall. I got to do some other stuff.
But that's the mindset that I had yesterday. If you can't hit threes, what are you doing out there? And if you're, and his defense fell apart in the fourth. He only played a few minutes in the fourth. If you can't hit threes, because that happens. There were games Reggie Miller didn't hit threes. There were games Steph Curry didn't hit threes. You either keep shooting, or you drive, or you do both. And that's what I want to see from MPJ. So yeah, that clip right there, perfect. That's what I said. I want that to be the mindset. I can't miss threes all the time, but if I am missing some threes, I got to go. I got to drive. 41 minutes after the hour. Angel, I've got another pair. We gave away vouchers, two of them, for PRCA Rodeo. I got a pair of these to give away. These are cool because they're valid for from June 24th through June 28th, so you pick your day. I got two of those vouchers right here, thanks to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Two vouchers, two tickets, essentially, to PRCA Pro Rodeo at the Greeley Stampede coming up in a couple of weeks. Let's go caller number six on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Caller six, you get a pair of tickets to go check out some PRCA Rodeo of your choice. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Angel just committed the cardinal sin of the whole show by playing Nickelback. Fake music, fake rock music, not real. You invite this.
I just gave your ticket away.
You invite this debate. What ticket?
Your Nickelback ticket.
Oh.
You're going to be here in July.
Where are they going to play?
In Denver.
Oh.
And we're going.
At
least Tanner and I are going.
Tool, of course. You guys are going to be in the front row of the little lighters.
Of course.
I love you, man.
I love you, Chad.
Tool's going to be at the Budweiser Event Center in October.
Ooh. Tool.
You could learn.
Was it Hammer and the Drills?
You could learn something from Tool, like
learn
real music.
From Nickelback.
You could learn zero things from Nickelback.
You ever looked at a photograph?
Exactly.
Does it ever make you laugh?
You're making my point here.
You ever feel like being a rock star?
Boom.
You want to cut off hair and
That's
change your name?
That's his voice. It's terrible.
It speaks to you.
No. No, no. There's a reason why, like...
Never made it as a wise man.
Like, a lot of concerts... If you go to a Nickelback concert, which I have, actually, they were a part of Birthday Bash. They were one of, like, 20. bands.
But you went because it was them.
Mainly chicks there watching them.
Okay.
Because that's like...
Seems like a good place to go.
Well, yeah, if you want to pick up chicks, but I'm a married man. Tanner's going to be a married man, so you can go to Nickelback.
Well, I need some wingmen. Not my show. Good Lord.
Just think about it.
Done. No deal.
All right, game three tonight. How confident are you? I asked how shaken your confidence was on Monday. How good are you feeling about tonight?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous, but
yeah, a little nervous.
It's more nerves because I just don't know what's going to happen. Less of, you know, I'm confident that this team knows what they did wrong. They're aware, you know, not to say that they're just going to turn it on, but they know that they can't have another game like game two. That their effort and the way that they're playing on the floor, not the adjustments, any of that. I'm talking about just the effort, how they're moving on the floor is going to be improved tonight, and you're going to see a focused, locked-in team.
I think you're going to see a focused, locked-in team. That doesn't mean that alone will win anything, because if Miami goes off, they go off.
I think about the two Houston games in the regular season. There was one where they were both in Houston. One game was like on a random Tuesday night, and it was like right before the All-Star break. And they went in with a focused mindset and dominated. Second time they played Houston, they didn't have that mindset. And I think they lost that game.
When was that?
It was like the second game in like the last month of the year.
Okay, yeah, they lost it. That was when we were all freaking out and crying. Yeah, they win tonight. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn? Coming up on the other side, it's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did I learn today on the 7th day of June? I learned that it feels like this story about CU going to the Big 12 is heating up big time. Where I'm at the point where, yeah, I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen. It's a fascinating conversation to have, and we'll see who follows. Is Oregon going? Where's Oregon going to go? What is the future of the Pac-12? You got to think not great at this point. Angel, what did you learn?
I learned that I would gladly take $500 to be put in a video game.
Me too, man.
It'd be so cool.
What would our video just be? Us talking sports?
Yeah.
Just our likeness.
Radio
back.
Show simulator.
Oh, you made a good point. Point for you. Oh, you made a bad point. Negative point. Yeah. Oh, look at that take.
Cool take. Yeah, college players, come on.
It's $500.
This is where this thing all started, was this stupid video game. And it's you should pay us. Okay, we're going to pay you. How much? This much. Oh, that's not enough.
For your likeness? And listen,
think about the Clay Millens out there.
Well, yeah, I just...
I just texted him because he's bad, but
I bet you he'd take $500.
But he's the type of player this is meant to go towards.
Well, Clay's a good player, but he's not a known player nationally.
But I'm sure there are CSU fans that want to buy this video game and play as Clay Millen.
I'd go with CSU and I'd win it all. Put on easy.
I was going to say.
I'm pretty good at Madden. Angel, we are going to have a battle.
There's a difference between good at Madden and being good at a football game of Madden. Because playing Madden is just, I'm going to take my quarterback and I'm going to run around, I'm going to throw it 40 yards deep, or I'm just going to scramble.
What's the difference if you win?
Actually playing it, like running draws and inside zones and running an offense.
Dude, last time I played you, you filled in for Tanner. I scored two more touchdowns.
I was already
in a row.
Up when I got the controller.
But then I scored two
Tanner
more
quit
after
halfway
that.
Through.
I scored two more after that.
My defensive scheme wasn't set up from the beginning.
That's because you're not playing the Madden the right way.
I'm playing it the way football is meant to be played.
That's so stupid. That's like saying,
I'm setting up my quarterback and
I'm
drop
play
back
Street
pass.
Fighter,
play
and I'm
action.
Only going to do punches. I'm not going to kick. But if you win, you win.
You win, you kick some punches.
You win.
But Madden isn't that running is my quarterback around excuse. Or just throwing 40-yard bombs every time.
You play Madden the right way.
Play it like a football game. This is me living out my fantasy.
You play your football game, I'll kick your ass in a regular style the way I play it. Guarantee it. That's what we learned today.
That's not the regular style, though. It's a football simulation,
no
not have fun whenever you backyard football thing.
Oh, Brady, you can't run that play.
You can, but you do it every
football.
Single time.
You can't run to the... Because you can't stop it, bro. Adjust your defense.
We can't because the defense is animation based, and they're just going to fly around.
You got to put your defensive ends and cover the outside zones, bro. Learn a thing or two about football before you come at me and Madden. That'll do it for us. Nuggets are winning tonight. They're blowing the heat out. We'll be back at it on a Thursday.